We continue our learning of the Nish Master Avi Ben Menachem Shem Chaniach and Bepitiko Silio. We are in Kalim Perichof Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. We're going to discuss a Megera. Megera is a saw. The type of saw we're discussing here is a bow saw. Here you have different parts. You have obviously the metal part, which is the saw itself, but this is used often to trim branches and to cut small logs. The bow saw has like a bow, which in our case is made out of wood. In fact, there are three parts. The bottom part is the metal blade. Then you have another piece, which is called the amo, which is a bridge, which is a middle section, which is above that. And then the top section is a string. And these three parts stay together with what's called a yad, which is a handle, which go perpendicular on either side to hold this whole thing together, to hold the bow in place, which is going to hold the metal blade on the bottom of the bow saw. So the Mishnah is here to teach us. We know obviously the metal blade is of the saw is the primary part of the saw. These other parts of the saw, the string on top, the bridge in the middle, the yad, the handles, keep it in place. What's the halachos with respect to the laws of tumah? So the Mishnah says, Hanogia b'yad b'ngera mikan u'mikan. Let's say the blade, the metal blade of the saw, of the bow saw is tame, and a person touched the handles of the bow saw that go perpendicular, that are on either side, going upward from the blade which is on the bottom. So the Mishnah says tame, because we consider the handle, well, this is it's a yad, and it's a halachic yad, and it's a real yad. It's the handle of the kli, so therefore comes tame along with the kli. But let's say a person, you have a case where the saw, the metal part is tameh, that blade, but now he touches the chut, which is the string, the band or band that's on top. So remember, the bottom that goes along the length is your blade, is your metal blade. Then there's this ama bridge in between, and then there's the string on the top, all attached on either side by the perpendicular yados. So the Mishnah says, if you touch the chut or meshicha, which is the string of the band on top, all the way on top, ba'ama, or that horizontal piece of wood that goes along the length that's in between. Remember, the blade's on the bottom, the ama is in the middle, and the chut or the meshicha is on top. Uvasnifin, a person touches the pieces of the wood that are on top, that are on the string section, that tighten the string, b'machbeshel charash, or something else. We move into a carpenter's press. So if it's a press, so you're talking about two, you have metal screws, but you have two boards, one on top of the other. And if you have a piece of wood that needs to be straightened out, you put it in between the two very large square or rectangular boards. Then you turn the screw and then they press down one on the other. So if a person, let's say, touches the boards of the press of a carpenter where let's say the metal screws are tame, uva kashtanis, or a person touches the top of the drill. Spoke about a drill, not an electric drill, of course. This is the drill where you have this U-shaped structure on top that allows you to turn the drill inside. So if you touch that bow-shaped handle on top of the drill, tahor. In all these cases, the person's tahor. Just because the metal pieces are tahor, are tame, doesn't mean that you become tame by touching all these different sections. So just to summarize, when it comes to the megera, when it comes to the bow saw, the only part of the bow saw that's considered part of the saw, the metal part, are the yados. And that's regarding the laws of tamara. Any other part is considered a separate, is considered, it's not mechubar, it's not considered an attached, because they're loosely attached and they're removed. When it comes to the carpenter's, the machbeis, the carpenter's press, so there, no part of it, we assume, is connected to halachically, in a halachic sense, to the metal screws. So therefore, if the metal screws are tame, just because you touch the parts of the press, doesn't mean you're tame either. And when it comes to the drill, the same thing. The top part of the drill is often removed. So therefore, even though that's the handle that's usually used to turn it, since that's loosely attached and it's taken off, you're going to be tahor, even if the drill is tame. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Hanogea Bamalbein Shel Masor Hagadol Tor. This is something the Tanakhama would not agree with. He says if you touch the frame of the Masor Hagadol, this is a very large saw. In fact, people may know the Masor, the Meser Hagadol from Masechet Shabbos, where we speak about Klisha Malachto Le Isser, Kalim that are Muktzah, because they are kelim that typically do malacha. So those we know we generally can move l'tzorach guf or l'tzorach mekomer, for if you're using it for a non-malacha purpose or you need a place, you can move it. The mesa hagaldo may be an exception because it is a muktzah machas chesrom kis. People wouldn't just use this great, this very large saw for any other purpose, and therefore that's totally muktzah, cannot be moved necessarily for its place or to use it for another purpose. So the mission here is just speaking about the fact that this is the malbein, the frame of this very large saw. If the blade is tamei, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the blade is such a large large saw, and that frame is so large, it's actually not considered an attachment. And therefore, even though the blade of this very large saw, this mesa masor hagadol, is tameh, you won't become tameh by touching the frame. Tanakama disagrees. Tanakama would say no. Although Rabbi Yehuda believes it's not attached on a permanent basis, it's not considered a chibur. Tanakama would say it is considered a chibur. Then the Mishnah says, Hanogea by yeseru vakeshes. Now we're dealing with the bow and arrow, or the bow, really, the bowstring on a bow. A person touches the bowstring or the bow, and where the arrow is tameh. So question is, do you become tameh because you touch the part, the bow and the bowstring, when the arrow was tameh? Afa pishahim lesucho. So the Mishnah here says, even if the bowstring was stretched out, and there's an arrow in place, and it's pulled back and ready to go, tahor. The person who touched the bowstring of the bow is tahor. Just because the arrow is tameh doesn't mean anything. Arrow's not attached to the bow of the bowstring. It's not considered connected, even though it's ready to be shot out. And then the Mishnah says, mitzodas ha'eshus tahora. An eshus is translated as a mole. The Bar Tanur tells you, beria she'en la'einayim. It's a creature that doesn't have any eyes. Hantinshemes, the Tinshemes, which is one of the eight shrutzim that the Torah lists in Vayikra Yudalef, mitargaminu, the Targum translation of that is ishusa. So we assume that that's a mole. Why do we trap it? It ruins the crops. So the Mishnah here says they have a mole trap. And let's say there's there's an arrow inside. The arrow is there so that if the mole comes in, like any other trap, it's gonna kill it. But the arrow is not considered connected to the trap. So therefore, the according to Rabbi Yehuda, mitzodas or eshus, we say is tahora. So before we get to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Tanakama says that this mole trap, which is a wooden frame that has, it's like a bow and arrow, and the mole goes inside, the bow is there, the arrow, the bow is going to now shoot the arrow and kill the mole. So the Mishnah is saying that the mitzodas ha'eshus, just because the arrow, the metal arrow that's inside that's going to kill the mole is tummy, doesn't mean the mitzodah, the rest of the trap, is tummy. In fact, the Bar Tanur points out, tahor she'ena choshev v'kuli. He says, there's a separate halacha as well. That is, the whole trap is not considered a kli. It's not makabel tuma at all. Rabbi Yehuda omer kolzman shehim esucha chibur. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the string of the trap is now stretched out and the arrow is there and the arrow is there's a metal kli and it's tame, the trap is considered connected to the arrow, and therefore if the arrow is tame, the trap is going to be tame as well. Rabbi Yehuda obviously agrees with the halacha before. When it comes to the arrow and the bow, so there the arrow, everybody knows the arrow is not attached. So no one would say that just because the arrow, the metal arrow, is tameh, that the bow, because you become tameh if you touch the bow or the bowstring. But here Rabbi Yehuda believes that the little arrow that's going to kill the mole that's in this trap is actually attached. It's fastened to it, and therefore that if you touch the frame of this trap, this all, if the arrow is tameh, you become tameh as well. Assuming, as the Mishnah says, kol zman shehi mesucha, as long as it's pulled, the string is pulled, so that it's ready to shoot out the arrow at the mole that comes in. Perichav Beis Mishnah Aleph. HaShulchan, we're speaking about a table now. A table we mentioned many times, although a wooden table is flat, so therefore it's no base kibul, it shouldn't be mekabel tuma, since it serves a person and kalim, so therefore it is mekabel tuma. So the Shulchan, the Hadulfiki, Adulfiki is a smaller table with that where you keep the drinks and other foods, the food platters, before you bring them to the main table. Shenif Chasu, so these are now damaged. What happened? Some of the top of the table broke away. Or let's say you covered them with shayish, which is marble. Marble is not mekabel tuma. So if you would, let's say, cover a wooden table complete with marble, so then it's not mekabel tuma. So we've mentioned in the past that when you put some type of decoration as a covering, that doesn't change the shame kli, the status of the kli. Nonetheless, that's only when it's just a decoration. When you put shayish marble on top, so that serves a purpose. It not only is a decoration, but the food stays cool. It's not going to spoil. We had a shayish tables in the Beis HaMikdash for that purpose. So therefore, we now treat the table not as wood anymore, but rather as stone, because there's shayish, there's marble on top, and therefore it's going to be it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So the Mishnah is now telling you, if I have a shulchan or a dulfiki, this side table, shenif chasu, they're damaged. Oh, you cover them with shayish, chipa mishayish. Vishir mahem makom hanachas akosos. But there's still enough space on either the unbroken part of the wood table or the uncovered part of the top of the table, which means you didn't cover it completely with marble, and there's enough room to put cups for your drinks. Tameim, the tables are still mekabel tumah, even though it's a small area, but it's a usable area of the original table. Therefore, it still has the status of a regular table, wooden table, and it's mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer makom hanachas chatichos. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you want the table and dulfiki to remain tummy? That's only if there's enough space on the wooden section that's not covered with marble and not ruined to put not just drinks. You need pieces of meat, chatichos. You need pieces. You need room for meat, bread. Bar Tanura says, makom hanachas chatichos shel lechem shel basar, bread and meat. The imein b'shulchan makom hanachas chatichos. If you don't have enough space for the placing of these slices of bread or meat, and it's just enough for cups, lav shulchan hu v'ladavukui, it loses its status of a table. But the halacha does not rabbi do follow tanakama that it will remain. It will still have its status of a table, even if there's only a small area. This is a chumrah, only a small area enough to hold cups.